isn't he? Amen. Hallelujah. Sometimes I'm not worth shooting, but God's good. All the time, he's good. Amen. Amen. That's just what he is. God is good. It's a part of his essential nature and character. It's just what God is. Amen. Well, God loves children. Did you know that? Amen. That's what we're going to be talking about today. And through this new series of lessons that we're just starting, this is a new, of course, this is summertime. We're getting into a brand new series of lessons for the next 12, 13 lessons. We'll be talking about God loves children. And children in the Bible. And I'm glad that he does. Hallelujah. Amen. He loved me when I was a kid. And he still loves me when I act like a kid. Amen. And sometimes we still do. And it's not all bad. It's some of it's not so good. We'll talk about all that when we get here today. But God loves children. That's what our lesson's all about. Amen. And we're going to read our focus here. It said Christians should follow Jesus' example to accept, love, and nurture children. Focus verse comes from Luke 18, verse number 16. But Jesus called them unto him and said, suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. The word suffer there means to permit or to allow. And then going to the book of Luke, chapter 18, verse 15 to 17. And they brought unto him also infants, that he would touch them. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called unto him and said, suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no way enter therein. And then the Psalm 127, verse 3 through verse 5. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. I love that. I just like that picture. Amen. You got a full quiver today? Amen. And he said, they shall not be ashamed. They shall speak of the enemies in the gate, or with the enemies in the gate. And in Luke chapter 2, verse 46 to 52. And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. Now, I'd love to have been there to hear what was going on there. A 12-year-old teaching the doctors and the lawyers, that would have been quite an event, wouldn't it? And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. Remember, he's 12 years old. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, son, why hast thou dealt with us thus? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, how is it that you sought me? Wished you not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Amen. In other words, he grew. And I think that's a very significant verse for us to understand that Jesus Christ was a real human being and that he experienced life like you and I do. And he went through the same kinds of things that we do. I think it's great that whenever you have a child or a grandchild that you're praying for, you know that he was like that one time. So he not only knows what we're going through theoretically, but he experienced it. He went through it as a human being, every stage of life. He went through all those things, and he did it perfectly. No wonder his brothers and sisters didn't believe in him. Amen. They didn't like him. You ever been around a perfect kid? Especially as a sibling? Never got in trouble? Never did anything wrong? Ever? And you were always messing up? No wonder they didn't like him. Till after his resurrection. And then he really was who he said he was. And then they got the message. Amen. But he was the perfect child, the perfect young person, and the perfect adult. Tempted in all ways like as we are, yet without sin. Thank you, the Lord bless you, and you may be seated. Appreciate you being here this morning. Amen. On this beautiful Lord's Day. Amen. But we're going to be talking today about children. Life is about consequences. Every action has a consequence. And it's just that way. The Bible said that we sow to the wind and we reap a whirlwind. You know, you do a little and you get back a lot. I see that in our world today. Most of us here today grew up in a generation that was the generation, not particularly speaking of us as individuals, but our generation was a rebellious generation. My generation was very rebellious. It was the day of the hippies and throwing off all of the establishment and all the structure that had been laid down, and let's just get rid of all of it, and let's reinvent it, and let's do it all new. There's nothing new under the sun. All this has been done before. Everything we see, it's just the same old stuff. Nothing new about it. But we thought it was all new and exciting, and we're going to do it right. Amen. And so we did. We got rid of God, kicked him out of the classroom. Amen. And thought that would cure our ills, right? Amen. If we can just get rid of people accusing us and blaming us, amen, and pointing out when we're wrong and change the rules. But that didn't work. Because you see, when you're in the act, every deed that we do is an act of sowing. And we will reap a harvest. We will reap a harvest. And that's what we're seeing in our world. There's a lot of truth to that little saying. People say, be kind to your children, they will choose your nursing home. There's a lot of truth to that. You hear what I'm saying? Because it's not going to be long before people like me, we're going to be in a very vulnerable situation. And I'm going to be at the mercy of another generation. And they're going to be making the laws. And they're going to hold the purse strings. And there's nothing I can do about it. Amen. That's right. There's nothing we can do about it. So we better be careful about the kind of harvest or the kind of seed we sow, because that's what we're going to reap. Amen. Have you been good to your kids? Amen. And this is a serious issue today. We're talking about children. Oh, they're just kids. Yeah, but they're going to grow up. Amen. One of those little children in your Sunday school class, you'd better be nice, because he may be cutting on you one day. He may be your surgeon. You go to court of law, he might be your lawyer. You better teach him well. Amen. Because he may be working on your car. He may be serving your food. And if you were unkind to him, who knows what it's going to taste like. Amen. You see, that's life. It has consequences, doesn't it? And children are the consequence. They're the consequence. And so sadly, they're the ones that least deserve what happens to them. They get caught in the conflicts that adults have that's not of their making. But they bear the brunt of all of the consequences of our actions. In the time of Israel, the divided kingdom, King Jehoram was walking on the walls of Jerusalem, and suddenly he heard a cry behind him, and he whirled around, and there stood a woman with a great dilemma in her life. And she was saying, I've been robbed. He said, well, do you know who it was? He said, yeah, it was my roommate. And he said, well, tell me what happened. And she said, well, yesterday we boiled my son and ate him. And today we were supposed to boil her son and eat him. But she hid him and we can't find him. And I'm not getting my portion. Now that's a bad situation. That's when the scales came off the eyes of the king and he realized we are in some serious trouble. When it gets to the point that mothers are boiling their children and eating them. Now we're not doing that physically, but we're certainly doing that spiritually as a nation. And it's a travesty what's going on in our world, in our nation today. And so that really opened his eyes to the plight. Unfortunately, he blamed the wrong one. He blamed the preacher. He said, I'm going to have Elisha's head. It wasn't Elijah that brought it on. It was him and the sins of Israel. Amen. It was God trying to get their attention, turn them back to him. And so he didn't get the response that he should have had, but nonetheless, that was it. So the Bible tells us, Jesus said, weep not for me, but weep for your children. He understood the consequence of rejecting God. Did you hear what I said? A consequence of rejecting God. Now, you can get away with it. God will let you reject him, but I promise there's going to be some consequences in life. And they're not going to be pleasant. And as a nation, it would be so good if we could remember that and return to our roots. But unfortunately, it seems like we're not headed the right way, but we are determined to go the wrong way. Our Congress continues to make laws that support the selfishness of adults at the peril of children. Just read yesterday, day before, that the teacher of the year, state of Texas, was arrested for sending pictures of his naked self to a 15-year-old girl. Teacher of the year. Lust is stupid, and it'll carry you stupid places and make you do stupid things. Now, I'm sure the man regrets it today. Wishes he hadn't done that. But it'll haunt him the rest of his life, as well as a 15-year-old girl. Just talking about our world today, 4,000 abortions a day. 4,000, let's put it real. 4,000 babies murdered legally, every single day. Why? For the convenience of a mother. It's her choice, right? We've got to let her have her choice. But what about the baby? Doesn't he have a choice? How sad that we would rob another human being of the very gift of life itself in order to save someone the inconvenience. And yet we have parents going to all kinds of illegal activities trying to adopt a child that want children. And at the same time we have people murdering their babies. And I know that it's uncomfortable and it's not something we like to think about or talk about, but it's true. And the great contradiction of it all, if that same mother that was expecting a child has an accident and the baby dies, whoever had the cause of the accident could be charged with murder. Because it's no longer a fetus, now it's a baby. But if you want to abort it, it's not a baby, it's a fetus. If it's a whale in the ocean, it's a baby whale. It's not a fetus. And it's got to be protected. If it's an egg in a nest of an eagle somewhere, it's protected by law, and you better not disturb it. But if it's a human baby in a mother's womb, it's all right to kill it. even carried almost a term, and then to a partial birth abortion. And it's supported by lawmakers, for God's sake. What has happened to the United States of America? But what about my choices? You made your choice. When you took a lover, you made your choice. You made your decision. Now live with the consequences. Life has consequences. It's a travesty, folks. Jesus said, weep for your children. Weep for your children. Amen. And children today, it's so sad. It's heartbreaking what's going on in our nation, our world, our children. Perversion, entertainment, abuse, crime, abortion, hunger, divorce. Jesus said, weep not for me, but weep for you. They're the ones that are going to bear the brunt of all this. And so it is. So it happened. That's the way it is. Amen. The murder of children is not a new thing. We just read about that, didn't we? Mothers boiling their children. 2 Kings chapter 6. Also, we know that Pharaoh tried to murder all of the babies, boys that were being born in Jerusalem. And then, of course, Herod at the birth of Jesus Christ. When he heard about the birth of Jesus, whom he thought might be a king and could usurp his throne, commanded that all the baby boys be murdered. It's not a new thing. It's been going on for a long time. Of course, we legalize it and we call it abortion and march in the streets and demand our rights. But it's the same old saw. It's not any different. Children are still the ones that are being abused. You know, I think the church is a little responsible for that. When we quit preaching fornication being a sin, you know, if we'd held the line at fornication and that you don't have sex outside of marriage, and we held the line there, then we wouldn't have an abortion problem. But when we decided, well, everybody's doing it, let's just go with the flow. That's what got us in the mess. But I'm glad I'm Pentecostal, and we do still hold the line. You know what the greatest sin, and I read about this today in the news, and it did disturb me a little bit. You know what the greatest sin is you can commit right now, especially in church? You ready for this? Being obese. It said, especially fundamentalists are obese. They're coming after you. Brother Wesley, hang on, son. You're doing good. It's a horrible thing, isn't it? The mayor of New York said you can't serve any more Cokes larger than 16 ounces, largest you can buy in New York. New York City, anyway. But we got to stop this. Amen. Don't talk about the drugs or the alcohol and all that abuse, but them Cokes, you got to control them, for goodness sakes. And making people fat. Oh, we got an epidemic of fatness in the world. Amen. That's a horrible thing. Just terrible. Amen. Well, I think their judgment got skewed somewhere along the way. I don't really think that's big of an issue. But you better watch it. One of these days they're going to be coming in and they'll send somebody by your house and make sure you get your jumping jacks and your sit-ups and your leg raises in and take your walk every day. Or they'll drop your insurance. Yeah, man. You won't be able to buy pork chops and bacon. Yeah, man. It's going to be tofu and salad. Because goodness, Lord knows we got to get rid of these fat people. Now, truth of the matter is, the Bible does say, put a knot to your throat before you become a glutton. So there is something there we need to be aware of. And if we'll condemn a person for smoking and drinking and indulging, and we don't control ourselves, and I know this is uncomfortable, but and I don't know how it relates to children, but we're here. All right, so there's some truth to it now, and I understand that's why it stings a little bit, but I don't think it can be enforced with a law, or should be. Amen. I think it needs to be addressed and enforced at home. Amen. There have actually been parents that have lost their children because they were overweight. And government officials came in and took them away and said, you can't have these fat kids. You know, we'll take care of them because we know how to get them skinny. Amen. But you know what? You can get somebody skinny, but if you don't get the fat person on the inside, they won't get fat again. I'm a perfect example. I've lost 1,000 pounds in my life. And they just keep coming back. And the bad thing, they bring friends next time. Amen. Well, let's get off of the unpleasant and go back to this positive lesson. Amen. And, but yeah, murder's not a new thing. It's been going on time. It's so sad. It's so sad. And then divorce, how it affects children. Brother McLaughlin in men's conference a few years ago gave such a good illustration talking about he wanted to teach children about the importance of marriage. And so he said, I want you to get a blue piece of paper and a red piece of paper, and I want you to glue them together, stick them together. And he said, that's what marriage is. It's two lives coming together. And they did it. And the next day, after the glue had had time to dry, he said, now divorce is when you try to take these people apart. Have you ever tried to take two pieces of paper apart that have been glued together? When you get them apart, the red paper has blue all over it, and the blue paper has red all over it, because you can't get them apart. Not cleanly. And they got holes in them, and it's a mess. Divorce is a mess. Because the Bible said, two become one flesh. And then he said, what God hath put together, let no man put asunder. Because when you try to tear that apart, something sticks on each individual. That's right. That's why people get all messed up. I'm going to talk plainly. Is that all right if I just talk plainly here today? I think we kind of need to, because our world's got more plain. And that's the problem with this open sexuality today. People have so many different sex partners because every time they get with somebody, some of that person sticks with them. You see, we all have spirits. And the spirit of that person gets a part of another person. And that's why some people get really messed up. Because they've got all this garbage sticking to them from the consequences of their lifestyle. There are consequences to our actions. And it's a consequence, folks. So that's divorces like that. You can separate the people, but the consequences is a lot of sin goes with this one, a lot of that person sticks with that one. And each one's hurting, and they're self-absorbed, and so the children don't get the attention they need. And because children are egocentric and they just think about themselves, they know it's their fault. Because they don't know how to think about anybody but themselves. They're children. Their whole world is about themselves, and so they always blame themselves. No matter how much you tell them it's not your fault, they just know that it is. If I would have been a little better, if I could have acted better, if I could have done this, they'd still be together. So, consequences. It's tragic, and they wind up getting hurt. And it's difficult, isn't it? This is our world, folks. It's what we're dealing with. It's a hard, harsh world. Illegal activities destroy the innocent. Millions of children. Amen. Just millions of children get hurt, and people use kids for all kinds of things. Evil people have learned that they can use children to push drugs and illegal things, and if they get arrested, what can they do? They're children. What can they do? They're children. And you can hire them real cheap. They're just wanting somebody to value them and think that they have some kind of worth. And you can pick them up on the street for nothing. Because parents don't want them. It's a sad world. One of the most dangerous things in Colombia when we lived there were the gamines on the street, they called them. They're homeless children, literally homeless. Literally homeless. I mean, parents don't care. They just get out of here. Little boys, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years old. And they grew up on the street like an animal. They have no morals. They have no values. All they're doing is trying to survive. They're dangerous. We had them one day. I wasn't with the family, and they were with another family, and the little boy came up to the car and literally, I mean, just grabbed a hold of the whole signal assembly in the front and yanked it out of the car and took off running with it. Just trying to get a few pennies to survive. One was washing the windshield, old dirty rag, and I'm saying, no. While he's doing that, he's got four little buddies stealing the hubcaps. They got a system. They're just trying to survive. Amen. But it's a consequence, you see. And that's why Jesus said, weep for the children. Weep for your children. Because when you get so self-absorbed, it's all about me. Amen. And that's what happened. It's so sad. And I remember going to school, I was shocked. I went to school with a boy that in high school, and he told me, he said, well, you know, we're talking about, what's your dad? He said, oh, he's a thief. I said, oh? He said, yeah, he's teaching me to be a thief too. There you go. Proud of it. Proud of it. That's the world we live in, folks. I mean, this is a real world. And it's out there, all around us. And perversion, we all know that's out there. Predatory adults and molestation and incest and all kinds of things happen in every direction. And children used as a marketing tool. Not just little girls, but little boys too. It's a sad, sick world. Weep for the children, he said. Weep for the children. Weep for the children. And then hunger. And and so much of the hunger in our country is so uncalled for. I mean, people receive money, but they squander it on drugs and alcohol instead of feeding the family. That's right. I get calls every month that goes by. I can tell you pretty much when it's getting close to payday, because we start getting more calls. People just $10 to get by the payday. Well, you've been getting that same check for a long time. You kind of ought to have kind of figured out by now what you're going to need, you know. But you know, you can't go play bingo and play the lottery. Or you shouldn't. Because you are going to lose. But it's our world. And there's hunger in the United States of America, but so much of it, there's no reason for it. It's poor choices on the part of adults. And yet, who pays the price? Children. And so it's, this is the world we live in. It's abuse on every hand. You know, I know about physical abuse, and we talk a lot about physical abuse, but, you know, verbal abuse is bad, too. Calling a kid stupid, ugly, worthless, wish you'd never been born. Messed up my life. People do that. I don't know. I know nobody here does, but there are people that do. And some of you went through some pretty rough times. And I know that some parents don't mean to be that way, but the damage is done. Well, they taught you when you was a kid, they did when I was a kid, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. And that's one of the biggest lies anybody ever tried to tell me. I've been hurt far worse by words than I have people hitting me upside that. I can't even remember people that hit me. I've forgotten that a long time ago. But things people said, I can still remember. Because those wounds are deep. And they affect you. And they rob you of ever wanting to try again. Well, I'm stupid, so I just forget about school. Why do I need to go to school? I'm stupid. My parents told me I'm dumb. I'm not any good. I said, I try to be good. I'm worthless. And so they'll live up to that. And they'll become that. But that's, weep for your children, he said. Weep for your children. And violence, you know, now I don't agree totally with the psychologist here. You know, they say that if you spank a child and you strike a child, correcting them, that teaches them violence. I don't think so. It didn't me. I knew better than to swing at my papa. I'd be on the ground looking up. Amen. And I guarantee you, whenever he got ready to give me a spanking, number one, I deserved it. Because I got away with a whole lot more than I got corrected for. And then when he did correct me, he did it right. Now, if you abuse your child, that's wrong. I don't care why you're doing it. It's wrong. But if you do it the right way, it's effective. It's effective. I knew a father one time, and he had done everything to get his kid. And he loved his child. His child loved him, but he just got old enough that nothing was working. He got so frustrated. He tried spanking him, that didn't work. He tried grounding him, that didn't work. Nothing was working. So one day he came in his room and he brought a belt in and handed it to his boy, took his shirt off and turned around and said, all right, son, get with it. Beat me black and blue. He said, I've tried to be a good father and apparently I failed you. Apparently I can't do anything. I don't know what else to do. I'm so sorry that I failed you. Please forgive me. Go ahead, son. Swing away. And the little boy fell down and began to weep at his daddy's feet. I said, Daddy, I can't do that. Don't say that to me. What he couldn't beat into it. When given the opportunity, he certainly couldn't correct his father because he knew where the fault lay. Now, don't try that with somebody you abuse. They'll take you up on it. But if you've been a good father, there's no way that they're ever going to lay a hand on you. And so, abuse, it's a part of our world. Violence, no wonder we have violence in the world. What do they listen to on their hearing? Do you know what your kids listen to? Or some of you today, or your grandkids, I should say. What do they listen to? Do you know? My mama did. Man. She had this, well, I guess it's just the Holy Ghost is all I can say. I couldn't get away with nothing. I mean, she is in tune. She could smell stuff and see stuff. She had x-ray vision. She could hear things. And my mom wasn't real worried about my privacy. Oh, I don't want to invade their privacy. She didn't care about my privacy. She did care about old. She did want me to live right and be right, grow up to be a decent human being. She wasn't real worried about my privacy. That's right. And she was not afraid to confront. Amen. She didn't want to be my friend. She was my mama. She wasn't worried about being my friend. I don't guess that ever entered her mind. But she was a great mom. And but violence becomes a way of life because that's what they listen to. If you listen to music, it's full of it. And of course, television and video games, full of violence. I mean, it's entertainment now, cutting people's heads off and shooting people and kicking people and stomping on people, cutting people up with swords and knives. That's entertainment, man. But don't lay a hand on them to correct them, because that's teaching them violence. Don't spank their little bottom, because that'll teach them violence. We got a weird world, don't we? Entertainment. Well, there we go again. I've said this, I'm going to say it again, that our children get their values. I see so many parents that all they are is a taxi driver. I mean, their little lives are scheduled from the time they can stand up on. Got them involved in play dates and every kind of activity. You got to get them into basket weaving and every kind of ball there is to play, and you just run them from here and run them to there and run them here and run them there and run them here and there. And you just got to be busy, 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 busy. Can't ever stop and actually use their mind to play something. When I was a kid, and I guess it's old when you start reminiscing like this, but I remember that when we got up in the morning, as soon as we had breakfast, we were out the door. And you weren't going to see us again until about lunch. We had this little time clock in our belly that said it's time to eat. Amen. We were back. And as soon as lunch was over, we was back outside again. We didn't have any organized sports, and they certainly didn't take us anywhere. But anywhere to go, where I grew up, out in the middle of the country. But man, we went out and we climbed mountains. And if you've ever been to West Texas, there's not any mountains. But we made some. We made mountains. And we slew dragons, and we rescued maidens, and we drove off wild Indians. And I know that's a horrible thing nowadays, but we did back then, and it was okay. And we shot bad guys and bad us, and we got wounded a few times, and we'd get up and we'd get in a fight over who shot who, and oh, we had a great time. Amen. It was wonderful. We used our brain and our mind. We didn't have video games, and it was just fantastic. And learned how to, when we got a little bit older, we got this whole, what was that thing? It was a Cushman motor scooter. And we'd work on it all day long. We didn't know much, but we just kept tearing stuff apart and putting stuff together. We'd find something to work, and we'd get it started. And we'd ride it for about 30 minutes down the road and push it back home, work on another, and get another 30-minute ride. It was wonderful. But we learned so much. Learned that. But we didn't have all these structured things and running here and running there and organize this and organize that. And everything was so organized. But my point is this. When your child is so involved in so many activities, and they're going here and they're going there, and they never spend any time at home, never spend time with parents, where do they get their values? They're supposed to get them from you. And Brother Tenney wisely said that some things are better caught than taught. So, and if they're not around you enough to see how you live, they're not catching much. But to sit down at a table and talk and teach and take them to church. Now, I've actually known parents that said, oh, I don't want to force church on my children. I want it to be their choice. When they get old enough, they'll decide whether they want to go to church. But they'll force them to go to school. And they'll force them to be a cheerleader. And they'll force them to play a sport. And they'll force them to speak English. Just let them grow up. Maybe they want to do you bangy. Who are you? What right do you have to teach them to speak English when maybe they want to speak another language? Same reasoning is, I don't want them to force them to go to church. Well, it ruined me. Amen. I'm like the fellow said, thank God I got delivered from drugs. He said, because when I was a kid, he said, they drugged me to Sunday school, and they drugged me to worship, and they drugged me, and they drugged me to Wednesday, and they drugged me to youth service, and every time something went to the church, they drugged me up there, and now they don't drag me anymore because I want to go. Praise the Lord. And so I've been delivered from drugs. That's the only drugs that I've been delivered from, but thank God I got delivered from drugs. I'm still doing it 45 years later, still like it. Amen. Nobody drugged me up here this morning. I was the first one here. Amen. Probably the last one to leave. Amen. I like it. Praise the Lord. Nobody made me preach this morning or teach. I like it. And they want to. But you see, your value, where do they get their values if they're always so involved in stuff? Just activity. Amen. And you know, a lot of problem-solving skills come from play. Did you ever build anything when you was a kid? And you can build stuff out of almost nothing. You know, just drag trees together. And of course, out in West Texas, we had dirt clods, and every now and then you'd find a rock. It's amazing what you can make out of that. Dirt, we had a lot of dirt. And then you can make lots of stuff out of that. Just marvelous things. And scrap lumber. And it's just amazing. If you just, you get to use your head, and nobody else knows what it is, but you, and they can't see it. And you don't understand that? Like the little boy is drawing in Sunday school, and the teacher said, "What are you drawing?" He said, "I'm drawing a picture of God." She said, "Nobody knows what God looks like." She said, "They will when I get through." So kids are like that. They got this great imagination, and they need to use it. But if they're stuck in front of a television set or a video game, they never get a chance to use their brain. Boy, I'm really going wild here this morning, aren't I? A lot of weird stuff. But, you know, we never had some of the things we have now. At least they didn't call it that. Like ADD and ADHD and HDDD and whatever. I don't know all the initials. They change them every other day. But I really believe, and this is, and I don't know how to prove this. I've never done a study. But I think it'd be good if they did. I think a whole lot of that came from whenever television became our main babysitter. And because everything runs in about a 30-minute cycle with 20 minutes worth of commercials. About sugar cereal. And now then we wonder, why our kids are fat? Well, you know, look at what you've been putting in their head all these years. I mean, you see what I think that has a lot to do with just giving you an opinion here. And it's not worth anything. It's worth what your opinion's worth. just an opinion. But that's what I think. That's what I believe. I think a lot of these things are we're conditioned. And it makes it a greater challenge for teachers and Sunday school teachers. Because we're so geared today to being entertained. Everybody say entertained. Everything's about being entertained. And if it's not exciting and it's boring, I don't want to do it. One thing I never said at my house, I learned early, never to say I'm bored. I'd wind up with a hoe in my hand chopping weeds. Man, we didn't say that in our house. Dad said, "Oh, well, he could always find things to do. He had so much stuff to do." So you didn't say that. My daughter didn't say that. Of course, she's never bored. She always either had a book or something going on. But it's just, you know, you understand what we're talking about here today. And it has a lot to do with the development or maybe the undevelopment. I'm not saying our kids are smart, very, very smart. If you want to program a telephone or a computer, give it to a kid. If you can't figure it out, give it to a child. They'll have it done in just a jiffy. Amen. They're smart about a lot of things. But I want them to be smart about life. And I want them to learn some discipline. I don't want them, when something gets a little bit tough, to just quit because it's hard. Stick with it. Press through it. Yeah, it's boring. Your tootums were boring, but you learned them. You know, tootums, two is four. That's tootums, right? But it's tough, but you got through it. Reading was boring. See the cat. The cat is fat. That's tough, wasn't it? Amen. But now you can read about the generations and the genealogies in the book of Matthew and get through all those names, more or less. You can call them something. But it's amazing, you see. But it was boring. But you persevered and got through it. Life's like that. You know, when you work on a job, how many work on jobs are just always exciting all the time? You just can't wait to get there, and you hate to leave because, oh, it's so exciting. Thought not. Most of life is boring. Amen. And you may not like your job, but you love your paycheck, so you stick with it. Amen. And so we've got to somehow get that into hearts and minds so that people understand. And we're hadn't even got out of section one, but it looks like we're about through, huh? Amen. Well, I'm not. I'm going to go a little further here. Amen. I do want us to know this very, very much, that that Jesus cared about children. When he was teaching you know, have you ever noticed that kids, you know, if kids like you, that's a good sign. If kids don't like you, that's a bad sign. When I was a kid, I didn't like grouchy people. I wasn't going to be around them. I had a grouchy finder. I think all kids have one. And as soon as they get close to a grouch, it starts beeping. The closer they get, and they don't want to be around grouchy people, so they'll just back off. And I don't have warm and fuzzy memories of my grandpa. He was a grouchy fella. I was scared to death of him. He didn't like kids. Sorry, kids didn't like him. I was scared of him. So, you know, when I read about grandfathers, I think of my dad and how he was with his grandkids, but I was scared of mine. Scared to death of him. Amen. And we didn't have warm and fuzzy moments. Because I was scared of the guy. So was my mom. And that was her dad. Amen. And so not everybody's warm and fuzzy. Isn't that right? Amen. But children, they just have this sense about, they read people pretty well a lot of times. And so somebody that likes them, they kind of pick that up, kind of like, well, I don't want to, don't read more than this there is. But, you know, dogs are a lot like that. They don't just come up to anybody, but they'll come to some people. You know what I'm saying? Because they have this sense. And so if children come to you, that means that they like you. And kids always came up to Jesus. And it wasn't because he always kept candy in his pocket, I don't think. I don't think he always had a, you know, handful of double bubble or anything. Just kids liked it. He was, and adults did. And it was a compliment. He attracted people instead of repelling people. Because he was an open individual. And he genuinely cared. And children knew that. So he came and they tried to say, well, don't get those kids out of here. You don't have time for kids. And Jesus said, oh, no. He reached down and picked him up and set him on his lap. He said, suffer or permit, allow little children to come to me. And then he said, you need to learn from him. Amen. For of such is the kingdom of heaven. And, you know, there's a lot of things we can learn from children. Is that right? Children have some really good things in their life that it would benefit adults to learn from. And those are the things that he's talking about. What I like about children is they don't hold grudges. Have you ever watched kids and they'll get in a fight and then a few minutes later they'll be playing together again? They just get over it. But you let two older people have an argument and they'll be on separate sides of the church for years. Maybe generations. But we're not going to let go of it. Bless your heart. Yeah, I'm miserable and I'm going to stay miserable. I got me a good grudge and I'm hanging on to it. I was right and I'll die right. Might as well laugh. It's funny. Because we're painting pictures here. But kids forgive. Get on with life. Don't get hung up on little stuff. Amen. They just get on with it, but don't hang on to it. Amen. Children are enthusiastic. As adults, if we're not careful, we can lose our enthusiasm. Children are creative, and children are full of faith. They'll believe almost anything. They just believe. And life beats a lot of that out of us, but it's wonderful to have those elements. And Jesus saw that, and he said, you need to be like a little child. You need to keep this enthusiasm, this excitement in your life. You need to be able to forgive and forget and get on, and you need to use your creativity and your sensitivity and all the good things that come with being a child. Amen. And so there's a lot of good things, but we need to become not childish, but as a child. A lot of our problem is kind of some of that. You know, one thing about children is they don't have a lot of discernment. They don't have much experience. Did you know you can live a long time and not have much experience? If you keep making the same mistakes, you don't have much experience. All you got experience with is making the same mistake because you never overcome it. Shake your head like this right here. That makes sense. Amen. But if you overcome one and then you move to the next step, Then you overcome that when you move to the next step, then you get a lot of experience. Some people just had a lot of experience with the same old thing. But some people grow. And so they have a lot of experience in a lot of different areas because they keep moving forward. And that's the goal of life, is to keep moving forward. Y'all ready to do something else? Amen. Sounds like it. Let's stand together. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Amen. Well, we try to have a good time around here. I hope y'all enjoy as much as I do. But I got the microphone. So let's talk to the Lord, shall we? Jesus, we do want to be as a child. We want a heart of a child. One that's full of wonder and sees the wonders of life and not full of boredom and fears and anxieties and all the things that comes with the experience in life sometimes. But help us to stay fresh. Help us, oh God, to stay excited. Help us to stay enthusiastic. Help us, oh Lord, to be forgiving. Help us to have that honesty and that purity that comes with child, being like a child today. We need you today in our lives, and help us to pray for our children. Be concerned, and as you said, weep for our children. Help us to have a burden. Help us to see beyond their childishness and see their value, their creativity, and help us not to be judgmental and harsh against them, but give us wisdom and patience as we deal with them. And help us to raise them in the love and the comfort and the compassion of Jesus Christ, and impart your love to them. Amen. We thank you for it today. We want to be a nurturing church and a kind and a loving church where they feel welcome and a part. Amen. We thank you for it. And give us help and grace today. And all of these things. And we give you praise. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I think we're ready to sing now.
Oh, God be magnified. Let me ask you, everybody here with a show of hands, how many know that song? How many knew that before we started singing it? All four of you. All right, now. That's why I had a little bit of problem with it, too. See, I didn't know it either, but I thought you all would help me, and I wasn't getting a lot of help, so I thought maybe some of you didn't, might not know it. But you know what? They told me that the word hallelujah is the highest form of praise. Now, I know we can say hallelujah. I know we can praise God. But if we just sing hallelujah over and over, we're singing the highest praise. Come on, let's sing that song again. Let's sing praises to our Lord. Let's learn it, because it's a beautiful song. I may not know it, but I'll learn it.
Right.
Let's sing praises to our God. Let's sing hallelujah. Let's sing praises to our God. I'm here because he's done so much for me. Ooh, he's done so much for me, I cannot tell. Do we know that song? He's done so much for me, I can't tell it all.
He's done so much for me, that I cannot tell it all. Oh, I cannot tell it all.
No, I cannot tell it all.
Said he's done so much for me, that I cannot tell it all. He has taken my sins away.
I cannot tell it all.
I cannot tell it all.
Oh, I nobody here he hadn't done an awful lot for. We've got so much to be grateful for. You know, one of the greatest sins is ungratefulness, because we've got so much to be thankful for, just so much. Oh, somebody said, oh, Brother Fry, you just don't know. You don't know what I've been through. Oh, honey, I may even not know exactly what you've been through, but I know what you've been brought to. You've been brought to a place of deliverance. Oh, God. Oh, this is the place. This is the day. I'm going to tell you right now, God's got something for each and every one of us today. You don't have to go away today without everything you've ever needed. He is a most wonderful God. He is good. What they said all the time. He is good all the time. He is good all the time. He never fails. God never fails. Oh, praise you. You might be seated for a little time. Oh, somehow I don't know if I can convey to you what I'm feeling right inside of me, but I'm going to tell you what. It don't matter. I'm just going to be happy anyhow. If you don't want to be, that's all right. I will be. I saw so many smiles out here today when the Spirit of God started touching people that I'm telling you what, people out here inspire me. Woo! Yeah, I stood up before in front of folks and I thought, my goodness, what'd I do to make them mad at me? But it's not so today. That's not the case today. I don't think anyone out there is mad at me. Well, maybe one or two, but that's all right. I deserve that. But I'm going to tell you what, God's good all the time. He's good all the time. Woo, thank you, Jesus, for your love and your mercy and your grace. Isn't he good? Isn't he good? You know what this is? Everybody remember this. Remember Missionary Sunday. What is Missionary Sunday? It's the first Sunday of the month. Why do we remember it? Why do we want to remember Missionary Sunday? Because we got missionaries on the field. Why, yes. But not only that, most of us have made pledges. Ooh. Some of us have made pledges. Okay. All right, we got pledges to fill today. And those who don't have a pledge, you know, that's all right. You can still pledge today. Don't forget, just let the Lord lead you today in what you're going to give in Missionary Sunday. This is Missionary Sunday. We're not going to take that offering right now. No. Give it a thought. Let the Lord lead you. Whatever he puts on your heart the first time, you give that. I'm telling you right now, you might say, well, the Lord put on my heart $5. I think I can give him. Well, if Lord put on your heart $5, you give 10, you're going to be without later. But if Lord put on your heart $10, you give 5, you sure going to be without later. Because he's going to get the other 5. One way or another. You know what I found out? I found out if the Lord tells you to give something and you don't give it, you're going to give double that. Oh, yeah. You might not give it in the offering plate, but you're going to give it when your car breaks down. Don't tell me the Lord can't touch a car and heal it. I've been so poor I couldn't pay attention. My car broke down and I knew what was wrong with it. Knew I couldn't fix it. I laid hands on it, began to pray, and do you know what? That car started up and took me home. It never started again after that, but it did do what it needed to do that day. The Lord healed that car. Lord, put something on your heart to put in this offering plate today on Missionary Sunday and you don't do it. Oh, forgive me. But you are going to have to give double that later. So you might as well just listen to the Lord today. And we're not going to do that right now, but we're going to do that a little later in service. I would like, what are our announcements? Other than what? Choir, would you do the choir announcement?
Youth Choir 4:30.
Fast, wasn't it? Youth Choir 4:30. Well, I'm so used to giving the microphone to other people to make a bunch of announcements. Oh, yeah, I love this guy.
Tonight after the service, the campers that are going to camp are going to be serving hamburgers, fries, and a drink for $5. If you can stay and help, please do so. And next Saturday is going to be a garage sale here at the church, and they're also having a car wash to help them be able to go to camp. So if you can support them, please do so. Thank you.
Man, I'll tell you what. That's a good cause. I wish I could tell you that youth camp brought me into church. I didn't. That wasn't the way it happened. Had nothing to do with it. Never went to youth camp in my life. Well, I did once. It was Seventh Day Adventist camp. It's different. It's not like Pentecostals. It ain't like Pentecostals whatsoever. I'm going to tell you what, buddy. But we still had camp, but it was fun. But it didn't have nothing to do with God. But here, I know some people received the Holy Ghost in our youth camp. I'm talking about people get excited. They had way more fun than I did at youth camp because all I got to do was go canoeing. I went swimming. I would dress up like an Indian, painted my face, and acted stupid. And I'm going to tell you what, these people, they do all sorts of things at youth camp at Pentecostal. I'm going to tell you what, some people that don't know think they act kind of stupid. Do you know a few years ago in our youth camp here in Lufkin, Texas, a young man received the Holy Ghost. Had been there all week, and on the last day there, he received the Holy Ghost. 2 days later, in Joe Pool Lake up here right outside of Dallas, he drowned. He died. But you know what? The youth camp is good. Youth camp brought him to a moment of salvation before the Lord ever took him. You know what? It's a beautiful thing. Our pastor can tell you about youth camp. Oh, yeah. Youth camp is a good thing. Let's support it. If you can't stay for this thing tonight, all right, put a $5 bill on Brother Bubba's hand, Brother Bacon's hand. Put a $5 bill in his hand and say, I can't be here tonight, but here. It's for youth camp. Do that, would you? Oh, come on. It's not that much. You can handle it. It's special. It's for our youth. It's a good thing. Oh, praise God. Youth camp is a great thing. Any other announcements that I need to know about? Youth choir tonight at 4:30. Be here. Please be here. Not the old folk. The youth. The old folks, you be here at 5:30 for prayer time, 6 o'clock for service. I'm going to tell you why you'll get to enjoy what the youth were here preparing for you. I'm telling you, they prepare for us. So they can bless us while they sing unto the Lord. And believe me, they sing it to the Lord. You ought to see these kids sometimes. Ooh, glory, hallelujah. They get excited. They get excited. I watch these kids, and it makes me excited. You know, they say, oh, folks, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. I'm sorry, I learned a few moves from this brother right there. I'm going to tell you what. I learned a few moves from him. That's fine. You can teach an old dog new tricks. Come on. You be in service tonight, watch these youth. They will bless you tonight. Amen, I promise you. You will receive a blessing from the youth tonight. Canton. I knew that, but I was fixing to read that. Oh. I was looking at that and said, say, what's that about? Oh, yeah. Canton, today at 2 o'clock. What time does the van leave? 1:20. If you want to ride with the rest of the group that's riding in the van, it leaves at 1:20. Does that mean 1:21? Maybe, okay. But I know some people can't be here at 1:20, but they'll be here at 1:21. Praise God. We have a special service in Canton this afternoon at 2 o'clock. Appreciate it. Everybody that could be there, please be there. I can't give you directions. I can drive you there. Or it'd be better to ride in the van because it's got air conditioning. You know what I'm saying? That's a good thing. Let's ride in the van today. 1:20 today. Meet right out here in the parking lot. The van will take off. And we get to go to service in Canton today. Come and enjoy it. It's a wonderful thing. Do you know what? God's in Canton too. I didn't know that. I went to Canton one day and there he was. God's in Canton too. Let's go to Canton and enjoy it. And let's go to Canton today and pray, and lift our hands and praise and give God the glory. Amen. Anything else before we move on? Brother, would you put the prayer request up? And as he's putting his prayer request up, I'd like everybody to remember Brother Lovelady. Brother Lovelady. You know, Brother Lovelady sits right there in the very back, right there on the edge. And when he's not there, that's a big hole because he's a big man. And I'm going to tell you, he's easy to miss when he's missed. It's easy to know that he's gone. Brother Lovelady couldn't be here today because why? He couldn't breathe. Do you know what that's like? Anybody ever been brought to their knees by not being able to breathe? Ooh, let's keep him in prayer. They've got him on a breathing machine right now. He's on a breathing machine right now so he can try to get his breath and maybe be in church tonight. Amen. We want him here, don't we? Amen. Amen. See these requests that are up here? They're very important. They're special. Each and every need is special. The special needs, the hospital, the healing. But oh my God, those of us that have children and grandchildren and brothers and sisters and aunts and uncles that don't have the Holy Ghost, let's remember them in prayer. Let's do that. Let's take these needs before the Lord right now, each and every one of them. Precious Jesus, thank you for the privilege to be able to come before you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We know, oh God, that you're real today. We ask you, oh God, look in our lives, look in our hearts. Oh, lift us up, oh God, move us if you will. Oh, bring about the healing that you said you'd bring about, oh God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you once again for Calvary. We go through Calvary, our faith made strong. Oh God, and we can depend upon you for the healing. We can depend upon you for the salvation. For all these special needs, oh God, for each and every one. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Have your way here today, oh God, that it would be your will, each and every one of these needs be met in your presence. A few troubles that some don't know about, a few that some shouldn't know about, and a few that others, well, I wish they didn't know about, but somehow my joy is complete. Amen. You know what? God's good to me. Woo! I don't care what people say. He's still good to me. We got the opportunity yesterday to be witnesses to some people that somehow they had forgot. They had lost their focus. And they forgot what Brother Grissom always says, to keep the main thing, the main thing. And you know, when we got to be witness to them last night and yesterday, I'm going to tell you what, it makes a difference in people's lives when the Holy Ghost shines through. Because It doesn't stop there. You know how far a light goes? How far does a light go? Does it ever stop? I don't know. I don't know if it ever stops. I've seen some beams just shine and shine across the sky. Well, the Holy Ghost is like that. It just keeps it going. And it's going to touch this one, and it's going to touch that one, and that one's going to see it, and that one's going to, and you know what? The Holy Ghost will bring people out. Praise God. Brothers, would you bring the offering plates? Ooh, hallelujah. Y'all may be seated. I'll keep you standing all day if I'm not careful. But God's good. Just remember what we talked about a few minutes ago about the missions, that missionary Sunday, whatever the Lord lays upon your heart now, right now. All right. Brother Grissom, would you ask a blessing over this offering?
Amen. Jesus, we thank you today for the privilege of giving. It's Missionary Sunday. We want to pray for all of our partners, missions, and all of our missionaries. God, that you would be with every man and woman. Give them healing in their body and strength physically. Give them fruit in their labors, O Lord, great anointing upon their ministries. We pray for the young people and the children of missionaries. You would give them special grace in the land of their labor and give them peace and comfort and strength. We pray for our national pastors and all of our precious saints of God and every church